How old was I when I first seen old Rivers? I can't remember when he wandered around. Well, that old fella did a heap of work. Spent his whole life walking plowed ground. He had a one-room shack not far from us, and, well, we was about as poor as him. He had one old mule he called Midnight, and I trailed along after them. He used to plow them rows straight and deep, and I'd come along there behind, busting up clodge with my own bare feet. Old Rivers was a friend of mine. The sun would get high and that mule would work, and old Rivers would finally say, "Whoa." He'd wipe his brow and lean back in the reins and talk about a place he's gonna go. He'd say, "One of these days, I'm gonna climb that mountain, walk up there among them clouds where the cotton's high and the corn's a-growing and they ain't no fields to plow." I got a letter today from the folks back home, and they're all fine, crops is dry. Down near them in, Mom said, "Son, you know old Rivers died. They're sitting here now in this new plowed earth, trying to find me a little shade. With the sun beating down across the fields I see, that mule, old Rivers, and me. Now one of these days, I'm gonna climb that mountain, walk up there among them clouds where the cotton's high and the corn's a-growing and there ain't no fields to plow. With the sun beating down across the fields I see, that mule, old Rivers, and me."
That was Walter Brennan, "Old Rivers." Absolutely love that song. Welcome back to Ray Eye Radio, Eye on the Outdoors, here deep within our bunker. Having a great show. Can't believe we're already in our last segment. Marching on towards spring with this March 9th weekend. I'm not going to give the story time away just yet. I'll give an explanation here in a minute, but I will let you know. If you go to Drury's Deercast, I have this story posted on Drury's Deercast. Of course, now it's time for story time. Seems that you really do enjoy me explaining the story times. Well, this one's going to go back to yesteryear, quite a ways back in yesteryear. This hunt goes back to 1973. And actually, the hunt took place over at Peter Cave Hollow, just southwest of Johnson Mountain. I can't really tell you a lot about it, but I'll give it away. But it's been a very well-received story time. This story is called The Gift. This is one of my first youth hunts, way back 1973. Here we go.
Okay, boys and girls, it's story time with your Uncle Ray. This week's story is The Gift, a story about a little boy and his first turkey. Just as the first streaks of sunlight of morning filter through the trees, I can hear drumming and wingtips dragging along the forest floor. This gobbler is close. I catch a slight movement at the base of our ridge. Suddenly, a glowing head floats through a small opening, but disappears just as quickly as it appeared. With my voice, I quickly yelp like an excited hen. The response is deafening as a throaty gobble echoes across the mountains, rumbling like spring thunder. Then less than 20 yards away, a shadowy form of an Ozark ghost appears, stepping quickly in and out of sight from left to right. The bobbing turkey noggin is quickly coming straight up the vertical ridge, on his way to the top and straight at us. As the sound of a turkey crunching in the dry leaves grows ever louder, the little boy follows the sound with his gun barrel. I assist my trembling young hunter to raise his single barrel 20 gauge and pull back the hammer. I'm guiding a young hunter on his first turkey hunt in the remote Ozark Mountains. He's never had an opportunity to go turkey hunting and has never experienced anything quite like this. My young hunter hails from a family of five boys and one girl. His dad works two jobs to support and feed his growing family with little time to take his young son hunting. This young man has a hip ailment in the hip joint called leg prethrith. His small legs, strapped in a sling device, pulls his leg up and tight against his body. For several years, he could only get around with the aid of crutches. As we begin our hunt, we quietly made our way through the pre-dawn to this ridge edge to listen for gobblers. As we wait for first light, he begins shivering from the cold morning air. So I wrap him in my hunting coat to warm him. Then he lies down in the leaves at my feet and falls sound asleep. As the last of the whippoorwill songs fade away and the first songbirds of first light begin to sing, I hoot like a barred owl. A gobbler immediately responds, but a long way off, on the far mountainside, all the way across this deep valley, close to a mile away. And as it turns out, this will be the only turkey that gobbles on this morning. I will not hear any other gobbling close or in the distance for the remainder of the morning. As the only bird within hearing distance continues gobbling, I have to make a quick decision. These Ozark Hills are extremely open with a late arriving spring, with little green up for cover to hide our movement. And with a small boy not capable of walking in the steep, rough country, I decide to stay right here. As my little hunter sleeps, I call very aggressively to the distant bird, and I shake my head in disbelief as the goblin grows ever closer. That old turkey gobbles to every sound I make as he marches down from the far mountain into the valley and straight toward us. This crazy, love-struck gobbler comes all the way across the open valley, only stopping when he reaches the base of our steep ridge. I shake my hunter awake and tell him he must set up and get ready as I pull him into my lap, even though I'm doubtful the gobbler will actually climb this vertical hill in front of us. Now, with his gun up and the hammer cocked, I support my hunter's trembling body as the sound of crunching leaves now turns into a gobbler in half strut, then abruptly turns toward us. As soon as the gobbler clears the crest of the ridge, he's in our face, about 10 feet away. I putt loudly, the turkey stops, craning his neck looking for the hen he knows should be right here. Excitedly, I whisper to steady the front beat on the turkey's neck and to pull the trigger. With the roar of the gun, the gobbler collapses into a wild frenzy of flopping all the way back down the steep embankment from which he came. All is quiet now, with the exception of squirrels barking and the echo of the gunshot fading away in the distance across the mountains and steep valleys. We carefully make our way down the ridge using small saplings to keep us from tumbling all the way to the bottom. It's quite a sight to watch the frail little turkey hunter wearing a jacket that almost hangs to the ground, wrestling with a turkey bigger than him. This old mountain turkey now lies still as early morning sunlight now fills the steep valley and reflects the multiple colors from the turkey's feathers. As he admires his prize with his teeth chattering and body shaking with excitement, I tell a now giggling little boy he has to carry his gobbler up the steep ridge and back to the Jeep. I will hang back and hold his gun, as he needs to experience taking those first steps with his first gobbler all by himself. I shake his little hand, hug him, as I tell him over and over, "You got him, you got him." Then I send him on his way, carrying a gobbler over his back that covers his entire backside, and the turkey's head looks strange as it drags along the ground. As he struggles to climb the steep ridge, he cannot see the tears welling up in my eyes. I really believe this boy's first turkey gobbler is a very special gift, something that was just meant to be, and a youth hunt that will always be one of my most cherished hunting memories. You see, I really didn't mind taking this special 11-year-old hunter on his first turkey hunt, because that shivering little boy way back in 1973 was my little brother, Marty.
And that's story time this week with your Uncle Ray.
Thanks for joining us for Eyes on the Outdoors National Radio Show. Share the outdoors with others and always be a positive role model for hunting, gun ownership, and conservation. We'll see you next time around the campfire. Be safe out there in the woods and on the water. Say goodbye, Peanut.
To be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that. And
day, but there ain't no doubt.